Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everyone? It's Daniel Smooth here. I wanted to show you guys a cool thing we're doing. This podcast is sponsored by Canda Dips, the newest lineup to the dip game, but in CBD form. The Canda Dips lineup features products made for every man's lifestyle. All tins are proudly crafted from the hills of Humboldt County in California. It's filled with flavor and will give you that good vibe that CBD brings to the room. So what are you waiting for? Use the promo code BELLYUP20 in all caps at CandaDips.com for 20% off your next order. That's BELLYUP20 at CandaDips.com.
It's time to BS.
You heard the dead man bell go off, so that means one thing, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday or Thursday or wherever the hell this is. It's time to BS, and I'm Staniel Smooth. I decided to shake things up a notch and get in my chair. As you may or may not know, I am currently reclined in my chair. Fuck, damn it. If I'm going to record some nonsense, I might as well do it comfortably. And that is how I will do it. My name is Daniel Smooth. I'm coming from the lovely beaches of Long Island, New York, and part of the Belly Up Sports and Belly Up Media Network. It's time to BS. Episode 216. Wow, I've been doing this for way too long. But it's okay, because I love doing it. I would not have it any other way. And I have a lot to get off my chest here. The absolute worst part of recording podcasts is that I cannot do it without Donut causing some form of chaos. I just can't. So I've been trying to record for the last hour and a half. It is 8 o'clock at night on a Thursday. And I want to be able to record Time to BS and then the Sports Cave afterwards. No big deal. Half hour of each, hour and a half, hour plus of recording. No big deal. And then have Time to BS out the same day, Sports Cave out 2 or 3 days prior. Or 2 days, 3 or 3 days later. No big deal. Donut, as the superficial, overcomplicated, and rather high-maintenance cat that she is, decides, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to cause chaos for Dad. Even though all I literally want to do is just sit in my chair, relax, play some Minecraft. Oh, speak of the devil. Hi, Donut. Here she is, cuddled up next to me. All she wanted. Play with the blinds, tipping shit over. Was unbelievable. Unbelievable. She is now cuddled up with Dad. I'm mind blown. Mind blown. Well, that means I'm not getting out of this seat. It's all she wanted. Apparently she knows it's Thursday, and Thursday's recording day. She will get into the dumbest of shit just to get some attention. She's a tabby cat. She's going to want attention. And if you notice in the clip that she had a little weird eye, that's because when she was a wee kitten, she had an ulcer in her eye and never healed properly. So she's scarred with that for life, but she can still see, thankfully. You know what? I like this. I like this little seat. And donuts right here, everything's okay. You know, it's all she wanted. She wants nugs. So you want, oh, she's making biscuits on me. That's nice. We like these things, ladies and gentlemen. We enjoy these things very much. Right? Where's that button? Yeah. Very heavy sports topics for this particular episode, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I want to talk about something real quick, because apparently there is a massive bit of news that's been going on in the hockey realm. And I don't know how to feel about it. Guys, the Arizona Coyotes are no more. The Coyotes have announced that they are moving from Arizona to Salt Lake City, Utah, for the starting in the 2024-2025 upcoming NHL season. And it's like, I'm not a big Arizona fan, but this is one of those moments where I'm just like, I understand the NHL has a notorious habit of, you know, wanting to get things their way. But this is one of those moments where it's like, you have no one else to blame but yourselves and ownership. Okay? You have so much blame going to ownership here for not doing what's best for the team, not doing what's best for the fans, not doing what's best for this area of part of Arizona. I know they were in Phoenix to start. I know they were in Tempe, and then, you know, Glendale was in there somewhere, but, like, you know, but at the same point, it's like, this is one of the worst things the NHL could do. Because for all the talk to say, oh, we want to make hockey work in the desert, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do this, we want to do that. It's like, but you pretty much acknowledge that hockey does not work in the desert. Now, it kind of does with the Vegas Golden Knights, but at the same point, this is one of those things where you look back and you just go, oh, for God's sakes. Really? For 30 years, you stubbornly wanted to say, oh, yeah, hockey works in the desert, but the Coyotes haven't done shit in 30 years. They made the conference finals once, and that was in 2012 against the eventual champion Kings. But it's like, there's so much you could... I blame a lot of people, but the main culprit here is ownership. That can't be disputed. For being a bunch of dopes. Just absolute incompetent dopes. I blame so many people for being bad at business. The NHL, for one. You know, management for the Coyotes, ownership. A lot of this goes back to ownership. Because in a salary cap realm, where you have every opportunity imaginable to improve your team, and all you have is Clayton Keller. That's it. That is it. Okay? You have, like, two, maybe three great players in your entire franchise history. Shane Doan, obviously. Keller. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, maybe, depending on who you ask. You know, it's... what the hell? I mean, it's... Devin Dude... Not Devin Dude. Who the hell was it? Mike Smith? Thank you. Mike Smith. I forgot his name. I was thinking of Devin Dubnyk for the longest time. But you couldn't get at least to the playoffs on a regular basis with this with those teams. You couldn't. I know I only named a few, players, but at the same point, ownership could look at the 2012 run and just go, "Wow, we can actually build something off this," and you do nothing. Like per usual with small market clubs, you do nothing. What is the result of something that you usually that you want to bounce with or get good momentum with? Strip it down. Look at the Marlins. Look at the Miami Marlins. Perfect example. You know, they traded Giancarlo Stanton, who just won the MVP, for nothing to the New York Yankees. Why? I sympathize with Coyote fans. I really do. Because as an Islander fan, we've had this fear for 25 years. The fear of them moving to Hartford, to Kansas City. You know, they were going to go to Hartford, Connecticut. They were going to become the Whalers. The Islanders weren't going to exist until recently. Like, fairly recently, in fact. And then I will give Charles Wong a lot of credit. He wanted to keep the Islanders here on Long Island. And to a degree, his vision came successful. Granted, a few years too late, but still. It's one of those things where I can't help but feel just, I feel awful for the Coyote fan base. I really do. Because this could have been avoided. This could have been avoided. Ownership, management, they could have saw something with past teams and go, you know what, we can build off of this. But you didn't. That's what's fucked up about it. You did nothing. Nothing. Now, on the positives, Utah's a great sports town. They have the Jazz. They got University of Utah, Utah State. You know, good sports state. And Salt Lake apparently is going to love that team. They're dedicated. And Ryan Smith, who owns the Jazz, is going to own the Coyotes. I'm like, okay, that at least you have something going for you. Because the Jazz have been successful since like the mid-90s. They've been a good franchise for the last 30 or 40 years. Pretty good resume on them. Again, TBD, to be determined. We shall see. But, you know, I want to see how this goes. I really do. All right, speaking of nonsense in hockey, anyone want to talk about the President's Trophy curse? This year's participant, the New York Rangers. Wait a minute. Wrong button. I am growing more and more in love with that sound. So the President's Trophy this year goes to the 114-point winners, the New York Rangers, who won 55 games, franchise record, by the way. Their first challenger, the Washington Capitals. I don't know if that deserves the Undertaker bell. Maybe they deserve this one.
Smoke weed every day.
Because 420 coming up. Washington's going to put up a fight, but people don't believe that that trophy is cursed. Ranger fans will go, oh, the President's Trophy, that's so great. We're guaranteed to win the Cup this year. Meanwhile, the last time you won the President's Trophy, you lost in 7 to the Tampa Bay Lightning in the conference finals. I want to say 2015. But then you have an argument, say, the last time you had this good of a record? 1994. Or you won the cup for the first time in 54 years. Good for you guys. But that trophy is cursed, man. Like, I think there's one cup winner since 94, and that was the Chicago Blackhawks. Granted, strike year, but still. One cup champion since 1995 that has won the President's Trophy. Since then, you've either... I think maybe three or four teams have made the cup final as the President's Trophy winner. 2011, Vancouver, the most notable one that I can think of. And Detroit in 95. But since then, they just that trophy is cursed. Don't believe me? Tampa Bay tied the Detroit Red Wings in 94. The then record for wins was 62. Tampa Bay tied it in 2018, in 2019. Got swept in the first round by Columbus. 3 years, like last year, Boston, 65 wins. Most points and wins in NHL history. Lost. Had a 3-1 series lead over Florida. Lost in 7. That trophy is fucking cursed. You are guaranteed to either lose in your first two playoff rounds if you win the President's Trophy. Now, do I think the Rangers could win the Cup? Possibly. They're really good. Do I think they will? No. Again, we will see, because the President's Trophy is cursed. Next up, we have predictions for the Islanders and Hurricanes. Playoff series, round one of the Eastern Conference playoffs here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. The last two times the Islanders have played the Hurricanes in the playoffs, it has not gone particularly well. With Carolina sweeping the Islanders in 2019, and beating them in six games, the Hurricanes did last season. We have meet again. Or, we have met once again, I see. That bell just scared the crapples out of Donut. I am not hesitant to pick against the Islanders. I've done it before. I will do it again. However, the Islanders are clearly the more physical team. Defensively, they have gotten better. Scoring-wise, they are way better this year than they were last year. Their kryptonite, the last few years, dating back to when Barry Trotz got hired, was they could not score to save their life. I think they averaged just above 3 goals a game. Or around there. Now, Carolina obviously is the better team. They have been the better team the entire season. Goaltending-wise, they are better. Fred Anderson has a near 950 save percentage since the All-Star break. He's been unfucking believable. I expect Semyon Varlamov to start round one for the Islanders this time around. Something happened with Sorokin this season. I don't know what happened, but maybe he'll get his feet in the dirt, and maybe he'll get his groove back in if they make it to round two. I predict Isles win in six, but I would not be shocked if this goes to seven in Raleigh with Carolina winning in seven. I would not be shocked either or. But I'm pumped. I'm genuinely pumped. I did not think that this team was going to be here but I am so verily happily wrong, and I would love being wrong. I do. I enjoy being wrong. I'd rather be wrong than right because it allows me to learn and do more research and stuff like that. You know, it's nice being wrong. May the hockey gods show no mercy, and may the best team win to the best of their abilities and to the hopes of hoisting Lord Stanley's precious cup. May the hockey gods show no mercy. Amen. Yay, more puck! We like these things. Hockey talk is great for the soul. Bruins and Leafs once again. Why do I not trust Boston this time around? I look at the Bruins this year and I just go, yeah. Why do I not trust you? I don't trust Toronto equally, but it's probably the hope that, well, the bullshit from last season where the Bruins had all those points and then they just went like a good shit. You know, that kind of shit where it's like, you know, you have a lot of fiber, and it's like post-Taco Bell or whatever, and it's just, oh, good shit. We like these things. But this time it was a bad shit. We don't like those things. Wrong buttons. Good lord, I'm a mess today. Boston and Toronto, they meet once again for, like, what is it, the 30th time? Feels like? In the 30... How long is it? How many times has it been? I don't know. But Boston has home ice advantage in this one again. So most likely we'll go to Game 7 at TD Garden. Because the Maple Leafs cannot have anything nice. I hate both of these teams equally. But I hate the Bruins less. If Toronto was in my division as an Islander fan, I would be going to those games all the fucking time. Because Toronto, you just piss me off. You, your self-entitled, self-righteous bullshit. I would love nothing more than eternal suffering at the hands of Harold Ballard once again. Because your fan base is ignorant as shit. You constantly belittle other fans. Because you're the big bad Leafs who haven't won shit since the 60s. And you claim to be, like, Jesus Christ. You have the mouths of Yankee fans. But you have the history of the New York Jets. Like, what sense does this make? You have won one playoff series in 20 years. One. Just one. And yeah, you might be hot shit again. You know, Austin Matthews has 69 goals. Nice. But at the same point, your team still does shit in the playoffs. Boston owns you. And you know what? They're going to own you again. Bruins in five. Because Toronto can have nothing nice. Where's the Undertaker bell? Chaos for you! Couple more topics to get off my chest before I close up shop for the day. Here's a team that I haven't talked about a whole lot. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, they've had a good free agency. Mitch Morse, Gabe Davis, Devin Duvernay, Eric Armstead, probably the most notable one, along with Ronald Darby and Darnell Savage. But I don't know. I mean, I really want them to do well. But there's a weird side of me that just wants to go, eh. Houston might have your number there, pal. I mean, Indianapolis is coming. Probably. The key word is probably here. I don't know. I really don't know. But the Texans got better, obviously. Thank you, Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon, for that. But the question here is, what are the expectations for the Jaguars? Well, let's be honest here. The AFC is loaded. You got two or three teams from your division alone that could probably make the playoffs. Plus the AFC West, which features the Chiefs, the back-to-back reigning defending champion Kansas City Taylor Swift's. Blah! Jesus. That joke was terrible. I'm sorry. It was bad. Whatever. Plus Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, the entire AFC North, plus the entire AFC East, except for the Patriots. Yay. How good does that feel, by the way, that the Patriots stink? How good does that feel? It's been too long. But if we're going to just Jacksonville, will they be better than when they finished 9-8 last season? Yeah, certainly. As long as Trevor Lawrence doesn't get hurt, then yeah. I think they're a 10 or 11 win team. It's not a bad record. 10 or 11 wins gets you into playoffs, probably. Again, we'll see, but, you know, it's expectations they're getting up there. And clock is ticking on Trevor Lawrence, you know. Probably Doug Peterson more, because, you know, he is the head coach, not your franchise quarterback. Let's be real, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be real. Speaking of let's be real, the new voice actor has been revealed for Shadow the Hedgehog. Keanu Reeves is going to voice Shadow for Sonic the Hedgehog 3, which is reportedly began filming. I'm so pumped. Where's that button? Yeah. And for good reason. Yes. You have the Yoshi sound. Deal with it. I'm pumped. I'm so pumped. The inner nerd in me is going crazy. I love this shit. I thought it'd be Hayden Christensen, because it'd just be cool to hear him voice act Shadow. Just that'd be so sick. But Keanu Reeves was the best choice. Jack Lurie texted me Keanu Reeves is voicing Shadow. I'm like, yes! I'm excited! But this is one of those things where you have to go and be like, all right, it's cool. The first two moves are reportedly really good. And this one is supposedly going to be super, 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 super dark. They have no choice but to go all out for the dark story. They have no choice but to do so. Because if you know Shadow's story, you know how super fucking dark that is. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pumped. Exciting. Very exciting indeed. I love video games. And, you know, when they become good movies, that's even cooler. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for this edition of Time to BS with Daniel Smooth. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe to the show on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. At Time to BS Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. At Daniel Smooth at Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. Also on TikTok for clips of the show. Don't forget, follow the lads at Belly Up Sports and Belly Up Media on Twitter, Instagram. And, you know, I mean, thank you for so much for tuning in, guys. My name is Daniel Smooth. I'm coming from the beaches of lovely Long Island, New York. This has been episode 216 of Time to BS, and I will see you all in this life and most certainly the